This is the tape being made in Mitchell, South Dakota on June 29, 1977 in the home of Frank Johnson, who is a nephew of Claire Johnson and a son of Nathan Johnson, some of the first white people to settle in the Columbia, Brown County area. And this is Mr. Johnson, Mr. Frank Johnson, that we're talking to now. And Frank, you said that your father and Claire, and who else was in that party that came to South Dakota?
Yes.
And his sister was with him, wasn't she?
Yes. That was Hattie Greenwald, his sister.
Greenwald. That's who I was trying to think of.
And they followed a government trail, wasn't it, from
here?
Yes.
Here to the system.
And according to the Brown County history, it said that there were two wagons in that group, one by oxen and one by mules, and they had 2 weeks off on the road before they got to Columbia, or the area that is now known as Columbia. And there were four people in that party. That's right. You said that what had they been doing before they came to on this trip?
Claire and Nathan Johnson had both been working for the government at Chinese.
Oh yes, and what were they doing there? Working at Chinese.
Well, I don't remember what they called it, Claire's job, but Nathan Johnson was boss herder for the government, handling the herd of cattle that fed the government. I fed the Indians once a month. They'd bring the herd in once a month off the range and butcher what they needed for the Indians and take the herd back out. That was his job.
And the cattle belonged to the government?
No. That's right.
Do you know anything about how they distributed this meat or anything about that?
Well, Indians were all up the squaws helped take the animals apart after they were killed, take care of the meat.
Yeah, I suppose they had some kind of a set method of how much each family got.
They divided it some way, I don't know.
Well, and then, do you remember your father's telling more about that trip or the early settling in South Dakota?
Oh, I heard him tell so much about, remember one time they had a sheet iron stove that they did their cooking on, and they forgot to put some cartridges in the stove of the trip, and forgot to take them out. And after they got the fire going, his cartridges started going off. And of course, that cleared the tent and closed it out of there.
I can see where they would.
That created a little excitement, huh?
It was a heavy shell to put through that sheet iron
stove.
So really had them going.
Yeah.
That's one. Along the way, of course.
But you thought that, from what you remember of your father's telling, that both Nathan and Claire, were in this first group that
they
came.
Both took their land. Claire took it on the west side of the river, and father was on the east side. That's most of his land was on the east side. About 40 acres of it. That's claim, and then you got a preemption too.
Well, did they stay there then, Mr. Johnson, or did that, they stay there for a certain length of time? Did they both then go back to the Cheyenne agency?
They never went back.
They never went back. And
Mickey Goose, chief, he claimed that valley, Kimberly Valley. He came along, actually got settled there, told them that that was his hunting ground, he'd have to get out. But he'd give them until next spring, I mean, next time he'd come up that way, be gone. When they came back, and he told Clara, Clara was there. By the way, he told Clara, you were sure a brave man to stay here when we told you to get out. They didn't kiss him. But the Eversons, some of the Eversons at least, I know they all went back to Minnesota after Gypsy Goose. And the winter got set. It did go. But the Johnsons didn't go.
And that, that was, you think Drifting Goose came along?
Well, his whole band, they're hunting. You see, they left. They weren't very government. They had not very hard yet, but after, down the first time, it was right after Custer Massacre in 76. But those Indians that were in that massacre, they split up, you know, and leave for Canada. One of those Indians had killed him in Joe. When Joe got free from the government, he started to go back and go over to his brother's quarters, and horseback alone. He didn't come. He didn't show up, and they expected him, so Claire and I don't know who the man went. The two of them went back on the trail until they found his body in the brush there. I don't know if you could find your own either. But the Oneida are hopefully Christian. And they found his naked body in the brush. Fingers cut off and his head was raised, you see. And all his clothes, his horse, saddle, and everything he had, plus his, he paid off in gold. And before, found his squaw. He didn't take his squaw with him. He ran off with all the stuff left her in there. She was, of course, willing to come. She told her these men that happened. It was her husband, Brave Bear, who was the guy that did it. He went into, he got into Canada and they couldn't get him. It took 2 years before he began to come back, you know, and they thought they were safe and started coming back. They got him at Bismarck, right in here. They took him to the Yankee. He was the first year in the hundreds out of territory. So that's what he got there. That's a matter of record, of course. But now, Yankee, see if there was. Governments at that time were supposed to reimburse people for losses to the Indians that they had under their charge, under their care. The county never got it.
That was about in 1876, I think.
78.
Yeah.
I think that's correct.
And when were you born, Mr. Johnson?
August the 16th, 1886. I was in the state champion when I was born.
And you lived then, right near where you lived, in the same place then that your folks had set?
I was born on the claim of a body trip. Lived there for about the first revolution.
Here,
a third of mine. Okay. Well, it was 1913 when I left.
What was the 13th? truck. I thought it was 12.
It was 12. I mean, but actually, yeah. Route 9, if you remember Route 9, drove down the fall of 12. Had a good crop of 12. Had a some thrasher mowed by Eureka or somewhere. Trash horse, one of those big outfits.
Uh-huh.
And we had a good crop. Ralph was, I was married. Ralph was getting married. So I was coming down here in 1913 to get that first crop down here. On the farm down here, 10 years. Okay. They were all the good years. Good crop.
That was a good thing.
How'd you happen to come down here to farm, Mr. Johnson? Well, I had to, my wife's influence. She wanted to come back down. She was ready to raise that election.
Oh, I see. I see.
She wanted to come down to this country. Elma wanted to drop from back to his country, remember?
Yeah.
And where was, well, that was Wisconsin, wasn't it?
That's Wisconsin.
Yes.
They tried that for a couple of years.
I was, my wife and I went over and saw my deer live there. I knew about little patches here, little patches there, trees all over the dairy country. They tried to get a good life there. The Elba doesn't like it either anymore. The bend of the river, we lived in front of our house, it was flat, and we had a tennis court. Played tennis and we had played ball out there. All the kids around the handy, you know, would come down there in the evening, like this time of year. We'd play ball or tennis. Ball mostly, we all got together. And we'd play until as long as we could see. And we had a swimming hole up there about halfway between. And we all got there and go swimming. It was quite a bunch of us when we all
did. Yeah.
Well, was this part of the Jim River then, or
part
the Elm?
Part of the Jim
River.
I've always lived on the Jim up there, and I'm still living over here.
That's quite a record.
Yeah. Yes, we used to, of course, I don't know what the girls did, but that was all boys, just to get together and play ball,
yes,
and tennis. There wasn't so many girls in the neighborhood. Don't seem to me. Was there, Philip?
Well, I don't know if there were too many girls.
They didn't come out, but no. That's what the boys did. Play ball. Swim. Fish.
Or the days of girls playing ball.
Yes,
that's different now.
They play out here in this park every little bunch of girls every day. Another one of those little showers. Maybe you get two or four.
Yeah.
You're not taking
that. That's great. That's great. Yes, I
did most of my hunting alone. Ralph didn't care much about hunting. I was, of course, I was 3 years older than Ralph. I started hunting. My grandfather lived there near us, and he thought I ought to have a gun. You know, when I got to be 8 years old, he thought it was all right for me, because he said a boy alone can't hurt himself with his own gun, a long barrel gun. But he could, of course, he couldn't. I hunted alone, me and the dog.
And what did you have to hunt?
The ducks. Different time. It had different seasons in it. I have now. They changed them some. We hunted rabbits, ducks, prairie chickens. We had lots of prairie chickens in it.
Oh.
We used to cover the straw stacks with prairie chickens. Remember how they used to, some of those wasn't supposed to do it, I never did, but wasn't supposed to ship out the game. Some of them shipped out to Chicago. You see, we had
had express train then.
Then what about your mail service then?
Mail service, we didn't have it in the country. We didn't have telephone.
No.
Not when I was a young boy, of course, we had later.
Where did you do your get the necessities of life, Mr. Johnson, at that time?
Columbia.
Who had the stores then?
John Gaskin had a good store back when I was a boy. And Carlin's had later on had a good store. Drugs, Cripps. Had a drugstore there.
And how many miles was it from your place to town?
We called it 3 miles. It was down around the bend of the river. I don't know exactly how far it was. Pretty close to 3 miles. I think from the Atkins place, 2.5 miles maybe. About. Fred and Arthur and Walter and Jay and 4 boys, no girls.
They were your closest neighbor then?
They were your closest neighbors. The other place, closest place, was a sleepy place, we called it, east a half mile, and the blacksmith owned the land, and he always had renters on. Different families lived on.
That'd be where Henry Bowling were filing with him.
Yeah.
Henry Bowling, yeah.
Well, you know, there's always somebody there. They had one time, after we got that school, over in the school section, didn't have any, when I was old enough to go to school, 6 years old, there wasn't any school out in that country. And my grandmother lived in Columbia. My father's widow, my grandfather. She had raised this family of 7 children after he was killed. He was about 35 years old. He was a captain in the 24th Iowa Regiment, was killed down at Vicksburg. He was with Grant's army then. 17,000 men killed there around Vicksburg. In that cemetery, the 17,000 Union soldiers. It's a bloody time down there. May 1863.
That was your grandfather.
That's my grandfather. His name is Silas Johnson. Yes, he left a widow with 7 children. She had, and I lived with her. Sorry to say, I lived in Columbia in her little house there, where Robert Johnson lives now. And right away. Yeah, I lived there with her in that school the first year when I was 7 years old. I didn't get started until I was 7. So I'm always a little behind. Yeah, I never quite caught up. But
anyhow, I'm sure you did.
She was a good Scotch-Irish gal. Her name was McClure.
Well, when did she come to South Dakota then? Her sons were here.
Later on, they brought her sons brought her here. She had a big pension, $8 a month. Her husband, she lost her husband.
$8
a month, I remember.
No,
she had 7 children.
She had 7 children. She worked hard. She lived. And I was staying with her from school and I home on the weekend. And on Sunday, Mr. Huntsberger lived next to her. And he used to bring her milk over and go milk her cow. So I was home off the farm. We got word that she, Mr. Huntsberger found her dead on the couch. She was coming home to church.
Oh. And that was when you were one weekend that you were home, you
yes,
said.
Yes, that's about 8 years ago.
Oh.
Yes, she died in her home church, sitting there on the couch, in her church clothes, and Mr. Ginsburg was coming. So after that, I had to get the screws on. And they built a school out of the school section. East there.
Nelson School, they called it.
Yeah, they called it Nelson School, right about a quarter of a mile from Nelson.
And that wasn't too far for you to go then?
Oh, no, it was a half.
3/4 from my out of Jesuit ship.
Into the section, but we had this half mile to get to the section.
Yeah, yes, that's right. It would right. Be a little over a mile then, but.
Yeah. We went to school, I went to school there 1 year, 19, yes, I guess I went 2 years.
What about the town of Columbia, that you, as you remember it, was it quite a thriving town?
Well, it was, that's how I remember back in the village down on the river there. Used to walk right by it when we went. Just I walked to school a lot. And that's across the flats and right straight through. And people lived along the other side there. Pipers. Remember them? That's before your. Well, they had quite a bunch of kids. We used to kind of. I used to walk along with them. We went right by the mill. That's what we still don't. The dam had gone out, but the mill was still. You know, they hauled that lumber to make that mill from Watertown. My father helped.
Yes, I heard you say that.
Yeah. And they never used it a great lot. I mean, they let the dam either went out or they let it go. That's back in the days when they had a steamboat that went there up in North Dakota.
Oh, yes.
I don't really remember that this is happening.
Do you have you any idea how many years the mill was in operation?
I don't know. I should, but I just don't know. It wasn't too long.
But I know it wasn't in operation when we came here, and I know that.
Which year was that?
1907. Of course, that would be a long time after that, but.
They had that sighting. Railroad down to the mill.
Oh, yes, sure.
That was probably there yet.
That grade is still
there.
That
grade is still there. Mm-hmm. They're not showing that no longer, I think. Because you see, it was kind of a while later. I wasn't born in 86.
Did people come from quite a distance to go to this mill, do you think?
They hauled their
grain
wheat into the mill and by wagon.
And then they would take flour home, I suppose. Yeah. They brought the grain into the
farm. I did that after came a lecture. They had a mill all the time. And I took wheat over there from a team wagon. That's part of it. After I got that, they had that mill right out of town.
And you said you came down here in 13?
I came down, came down in fall of 12 and went back to the town with the car loaded and came down in the spring of 13. So I, from then on, I didn't miss much of that. Yeah, he was going with the boys to get this Indian. Was one of those Indians was in the custody.
He was a renegade.
Yeah, the government. Those guys, the government. A lot of them.
Now, is he the one that's buried? Or is that drifting goose that's buried up on the hill? Just west of Mulbridge.
stay there. He was hung down in Yankton.
He was hung in Yankton.
I'm trying to think of who that is over at Mowbridge, that Indian that they dug up the bone.
That's Drifting. I guess that would be Drifting. Just
Sitting Bull.
Sitting Bull.
Sure. Where did you say it?
Right up on the hill on the west where the old highway used to go up. You kind of miss it now.
Mowbridge?
Across on the west side of the river.
Mowbridge?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's where he is. I thought you said he's looking on the chamber. Well, that's probably where he did have trouble with Jack Chamberlain. Or you mean Tom Chamberlain. Yeah.
Oh, I just misunderstood. Our Drifting Goose claimed this whole generator gun.
It's his mini gun.
He was a chief? Chief.
I don't know how many were in his band. He came along with a whole bunch of older guys to get out.
They didn't move.
They didn't get, huh?
They had to pile on the land expect to stay there.
What was your mother's maiden name? Was it Kilmer?
My grandmother died when I was just a little boy. I remember the day of the funeral. I was up along somebody's place on that road that goes north close to Boston. They lived out of grandfather, the Kilmer, took his claim from there. It was part of the Drifting Range. And that's where my grandmother
died. That answers the question we were talking about on the way down, is how your relatives got over to the Lincoln Ranch area.
Well, that's where your mother first lived when she
was
here. They had a sod house dug into the high bank
there on the hill where it made the curves. They dug right back into that. And all they had to do was a front of it. It didn't take much longer than the roof. So they put logs across and covered over. My mother used to say that she remembered one time when her father had my grandfather quite a hunter in the tractor. That was a good day. And my little son. He had quite a lot of fish that he caught in the frozen. He had them on top of this cliff before he went out. And the hunter pilots came along one night and took all the fish. And they heard him come and go, and they let the fish. And they got, they came from Michigan, my mother, and they got here several, maybe three of them. '83, when they got claims.
And how long were those claims, how long was the time? You could get a claim, remember?
Claims as long as they lasted.
Oh, I see.
A lot of people. Then they were preemptions.
Oh, yes.
And that's how my father got mad. Preemption, he also had a tree claim. They could have a tree claim. Well, there's a lot of people come to land.
It was just too much effort, or they didn't like put the time in. How long was it that they had to live on their place?
9 years. Oh, but they talked to Shirley about it. She was a nice teacher. There's about snow was so deep you could walk right across the tree tops. It's really deep. In the spring, that's when we had that big flood there.
Did it affect your property? Well, your house? Did you have to move out?
Yeah, we had to move out. It was up on the hill.
Everything was flooded.
Everything was 96 inches. Not really. So many times. That changed that. That's the river. The river channel is pretty deep down there.
Yeah.
It would take care of a lot of water that it came from.
I suppose he went by a different name.
He could have. Well,
I did. He asked me about coming down.
Yeah. Did you know George?
Georgie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He lived on Putney.
Right. Well, Frank would have been his brother.
He would.
Uh-huh.
Well, after Putney, he was older.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. If you...
Yeah, well, sure, that's right. But I can't even remember of Frank Everson.
I don't either.
That's what I can't figure out.
I thought I'd
where did you get this information?
Oh, I talked to Frank.
Well, you talked
to
Frank.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Where was that?
Well, when was that? Well, he's still on Quarter Line up in there north of us, you know.
Right in the horse's mouth.
Yeah, he was living at that time over on South 2nd Street with a daughter in Aberdeen. Did you know where Max Beerkotch used to live over there on South 2nd?
No, I really didn't.
I don't think you would. It was a little square house there on a block. Well, then Frank Everson and his daughter lived over there.
No, but that wouldn't, no. No, Frank, I left him, no, that sure wouldn't be Stella. Stella,
John Everson.
John Everson's daughter.
Yeah.
See, and that, an old Everson family, there was, you know more about this than I would, Mr. Johnson, but I think there was Mrs. Walter Gilchrist, that had been Stata. And then there was George, and then Frank, and then I think Jim was another. Jim went to Canada, I think, at an early age.
Yeah, it's used to John, Jim, Olia, come down the river that way in that order.
That's right. That's right.
Olia stood on the bend.
Right.
Were they all north of Tacoma Park, then, the Eversons?
Well, I think Frank is the only one living in the old Everson family. Mrs. Gilchrist is gone. Jim, when I lived in Canada, I'm sure just passed away within the last 2 years, and as did George.
Say, another thing about the day after you were here, Lloyd Johnson and his family stopped in.
Boy,
oh, that was
Boy
nice.
Francis?
Yeah.
Well, they did.
Yeah, they surprised us.
For one thing.
They went on down to, yeah, they were going down to Yashnaga again because one of their daughters was in school.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And then they were going on down to Louisiana where their oldest daughter, their married daughter, is.
Oh.
They were going to down to see her.
I didn't say it. Oh, you bet they couldn't gotten here the day we
well,
were
that's
here.
That's what they said.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Were, because I had my neighbor, sorry, because Marjorie had just gone. My daughter, Vermont, was here.
That's what Willa said. They had such a nice afternoon.
Yes, she had her daughter.
Her daughter, yeah, the two girls. They left together on the 24th, right? They had left here in 7 o'clock in the morning. Rutland, Vermont at 7 o'clock. But you see the old they had to spend 4 hours in Chicago. Yeah, boy, it was awful sorry he didn't get here a day of sentiments.
Of course, you know, you do, Boyd's wife, you see Henry Hendricks.
Yes.
She's nice.
Isn't she, though? She's really nice.
I didn't think of that until you just mentioned it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I just wondered
she's still teaching.
He's still out of the school there at the,
He is. She is still teaching.
Oh, Fran?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Is that so?
She went back to school and took special ed.
I guess, come to think about it, she did. Of course, the kids now, their youngest little sweetie, I always used to call her, she was about the sweetest little thing I think I ever saw.
Well, she's 17.
17?
She's the one down Yankton. She was so nice, but she was just a little, like you said. So this was the time of Tippert's funeral.
Uh-huh.
I was out there with the union. And she got a call. She was going to show me how to play golf.
Oh, sure. Sure, she would.
And I got a picture of her. I don't know where it is now, but I had a picture of her. showed me how to make a book. Now she's 17 years old.
Never forget the one time that she was such a cute little perp. They stopped at our house when we lived at 1311 South Lincoln. And I made kind of a fuss over her, I guess. They got out in the car, got ready to go. She leaned out and kissed me, and she said to her dad, she said, "I don't think I want to go with you. I want to stay with Uncle Willis."
Can't blame her much.
She's out in the clear blue, you know.
Yeah, she was a cute kid.
Oh, she sure was.
She was, of course, she was with us.
No, sure not.
In fact, there's only one, only got one left. He was with him, a boy, a Bill.
Well, he was a first time. You know, it's been so long since I know practically none of those kids anymore. Ann was the oldest.
She was the oldest. She's the one down in Louisiana. I'm uh-huh. married.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Do you know anything about at one time there was a kind of a controversy or a battle over whether the county seat was going to be Ordway or Columbia at first?
And
wasn't there a man by the name of Mr. Ordway, wasn't that his name, that started the town of Ordway? Governor Ordway. Was he the fellow that was thinking about starting the college, building a college at Ordway?
Yeah, I remember this. Somebody was thinking about it, wasn't he?
I was wondering.
But he was governor.
Governor Ordway.
Yeah. Hmm? You know, as I understood, as I talked and I heard, remember this, it was a town site in Columbia, to blame for Columbia not being there.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
The railroads decided that they would.
Sure. Well, that was because of the drawbridge, wasn't it, Frank?
Yeah, something.
Well, now, wasn't Mr. Huntsberger one of the fellows that was against that?
I don't know who he was,
they said there was two or three of them. Now, was J.D. Lavin one of them?
He is one of them.
That I had been told.
No, they didn't.
Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't. Anyhow, they were pretty, they would be less expensive to cross the railroads, cross their railroad at Aberdeen.
Now, what time year did the railroad go through Northwestern, go through Columbia?
I don't have a date.
Well, now, was the railroad there when you were born?
I didn't know.
Or about that time?
I really don't know.
Let me answer your question. When I wrote that history on the city of Columbia, I got most of my information from Mr. Davenport.
Yeah. Oh, and it's Uncle Bill.
Yeah. As I recall it, the Chicago and Northwestern built into Ordway in 1883. And then in 1887, they built into Columbia.
Oh. Someone had told me 91, and I was sure it was before 91.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be just, I don't want you to be positive in my answer.
The
right.
Only clue I would have is my spot mother's family came from Michigan in 83, and they had to kind of get off in Watertown, ride up the wagon.
Yeah.
That in 83.
And you think about 87.
That's as Mr. Davenport told me.
Well, he'd be about as apt to know as anybody. Well, then, did it go clear on up to Oaksend?
That I wouldn't know, Willis. I didn't ask any questions beyond Plumpton.
Well, I know I can remember, but ever since I can remember, when we came there, they had four passenger trains through the town each day.
Two going each way?
Yes, Mom. They had what they called the noon train and the midnight train. Because we landed there, I know, in Columbia, March the 6th of 1907, we landed on that midnight train. And Mr. Hayes, they lived over in that big square house over in the southwest, and he met us at the train and took us over to his place, and we stayed there all night.
You know, in 1910, I was married here in Mitchell. We went up on the midnight train to Aberdeen on the Rocky Horse. Got over on the in the morning, got over on Northwestern.
Sure.
That's 1910.
You were going to Dakota Wesleyan to school, or you said? Is that where you met your wife?
That's where I met her. She was born and raised right here in Fletcher. Yeah, that's where I met.
How long did you go to Dakota Wesleyan then?
I finished my high school there because they didn't have any high school. I had 9 grades.
Oh, yes.
Finished my high school along with a business course, a 3-year business course. I never did go to college. Matthew Smith and I started here living together in school. Later on, of course, he went on to college and graduated. I finished my course in 1908. He finished college here in 1912. I always count me as a 1912 student, but
sure,
I won't never. Whenever they have any.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew got to be the president of college later.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah. He was, after he finished college here, he went to Peru as a missionary, as a Methodist missionary, and met his wife, Dominic. She was a missionary too. They both lived here in the
country. They're both still alive.
Both still alive.
I was thinking
he's retired.
Yeah, sure.
He's writing, and now he's writing a history of Methodism in the state of South
Carolina.
He wrote a biography of his life, he stretches in from Peru, raises all their family, they have 4 children. The oldest one, born in Philadelphia, she came home. The other 3 were all born out of this country. Matthew, his son has been a consul in Turkey and Mexico and all over different countries.
That's really interesting.
So that's what I know about some of the questions. Matthew Smith was a cousin of my wife. How I happen to know so much about him. Yeah, the rest of their children, the other 3 children were born in Mexico. Down there. He still goes down to college in Mexico where he taught.
He does.
And they, students,
in the winter?
Yeah, well, anytime.
Oh.
The students down there, taught a lot of them. They furnish him money. He come down and make a speech or something.
Oh, that's it.
It's right next to the city, Mexico City.
Right. Hey,
you remember anything about the hotel that they had in Columbia?
I can see it. I still have it. Boy, I was. This is just amazing. They moved it down to Redfield.
Yes.
They didn't build the bike. They didn't rebuild the bike. I can remember. Yes, I think I can see it. Like the old schoolhouse, you know, I started school in the
old courthouse.
The old courthouse,
yeah.
And those big rooms.
Well, have you, do you have, or do I have, a picture of the old hotel?
I imagine you have that somewhere around, Frank.
No, I haven't seen it.
You better get to looking someday.
I've looked through all the
I'll look. But I'm sure that one or the other of us had a picture.
It looked like quite a building, didn't it?
It was a four-story building, wasn't it?
Four-story, and I filled that whole corner where
the Carlin store stood.
Yeah.
Well, when they moved us, did they just take it down board for board?
I never saw them.
Didn't they say in sections? Some way or other, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the
tall elevators or anything you want to
make. A brick building.
Brick building, yeah.
Why they don't even crack a window?
Have you told us about your family? I kind of lost out.
I have two sons.
I see. And where are they?
My daughter just here with another son. Lived Rutland, Vermont. Her husband, Castleton, Vermont, but Ethan Allen and his wife, Revolutionary War. But I still talk about that up there. I've been up there. Castleton College, her husband, her youngest daughter's husband was president of the college for 9 years. There, it's a state school. I mean, all the schools are state schools. And he was working for the state. He had, you know, to get any, he didn't have buildings in those. They're pretty tight up in Vermont.
You bet.
And he bought the legislature. Get buildings enough. The college, while he had it for about 9 years, it tripled enrollment, but he kept getting buildings. He was slowing down, so I went to something else. After 9 years, he's a counselor in the high school there where my daughter's teaching.
Is this a picture of them here?
That's just my other daughter's son, Al Crossway, died 3 years ago. His father did. So my daughter is with them. They've got three little children. She's there. Oh, after her husband died, she came here and stayed with me one winter of 6 months. And I hope she was all fine. My wife's been dead 7 years. And then they need her so bad there with Matt because boy, they were both working. And I thought they both had work to live. And they got my daughter there with it. So, yes, I have two daughters and two sons. The oldest son graduated from Brookings way back 43 years ago.
Well, that was a nice change.
That was nice. They took good care of
me. Sure.
This is Frank's wife.
Oh, that's
Patsy. Now,
Is it 5 years ago, Frank?
She died in 70.
Oh, yeah. And this is Alice's sister, Millie.
Millie, yeah.
Oh,
she married Mrs. Howard Cole, she was.
Arthur Cole.
Arthur Cole, Howard's your son.
Yes.
She has this one son, that's all about it.
And where does she live now?
She's passed away.
She has passed away, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She died. Margie died the same.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's right. They did the damage.
This is
Mrs. Johnson. And this is Alice's sister, Frank's. Frank's, I guess it could be the same.
So you're really the only one left of the Johnson family, of the Nathan.
He's like I am. He's the only one of the tribe left. That's what I say about the Clifford tribe.
There's five of us. I was the oldest. I was the last one. We didn't.
For goodness sake. You were the oldest.
Then I'm got
Well, you got a good chance of it, Frank.
A better chance. She fell.
She fell, and of course, was laid up for several years.
That was. She was.
Yeah.
Russian father was this. He had terrible sickness there. They called it, you know, way back here. I spoke on very well.
Probably appendicitis or something like that, more than likely.
A lot of appendicitis. The doctor was one who was here, Dr. Taylor. He saved his life, Gary. But Chuck did not. Well, Dr. way back, Dr. Taylor, right?
Did Columbia have a resident doctor then for some time?
We always had a resident doctor as long as Doc Markman lived.
I remember Doc Markman.
I'm sure you do.
Our first boy, the 1965, and Dr. Markman was there.
Doc Markman delivered both of our girls.
Did he? Both
right at home. Sure. Of course, we lived just across the fence, you might say.
Yeah, we lived up. I had to go up the night Kevin was born. I had to go to the town and get back in there. 3 miles of the storm and thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
Back there was five horses killed in our pasture that night. It was a bad night. I had to travel up and down. And then I'd go over and get a lady to stay on the line. Got us. Canaly?
Well, you speak about horses being killed. Isn't there a corner fence right up in there? Well, just about 10, 20 rods west of the Atkins fence. And wasn't there a bunch of, wasn't there some horses or a bunch of cattle in there, maybe speaking about the same one, that were killed, was killed in that corner one time from a storm?
Horses that come over in the southeast corner of the school section. We had the whole thing fenced.
Yeah.
And men took some acres and dug a trench and had to bury it.
Golly, that'd be quite a job, wouldn't it?
Big job. It was some big horses.
Yeah. I should say. Well, we really appreciated the information and the nice visit with you, Mr. Johnson.
Nice to have you here. I knew my voice.
Well, I'm sure I took a little up and down. As Milton took quite a bit of, quite a few things down. Probably what you've got on there.
You live in Aberdeen, right?
Yes, I do, and I've got an apartment.
Just where do you live, Milton? Say something about Francis Rankin.
Well, I live at 414 and a half, 7th Avenue, Southeast.
Yeah.
remember when that was in the area.
Who?
When that
was. Oh, yes. They lived on South Washington. Right.
Their houses where Joe Maine's
that building, Joe Maine's building is at now.
Aura
Nelly.
Nelly.
Leo always used to go to visit them when he came here from California, didn't he?
Oh, you know Leo Sheridan?
Oh, yes.
I thought he was about the same time you were.
Yes. 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 Leo Sheridan. Who was
he here? Evelyn.
Evelyn.
River.
Oh.
My mother's sister.
Talked about Evelyn. I forgot.
They were the first few years that we lived in Columbia. I went to the Sheridan School. How do you remember anything about that?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been a little west and north of you.
Straight west to Hemet.
Yeah. Sitting there on the south side of the road.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it wasn't moved away so long ago.
Too long ago. No, no. Probably 15, 20 years ago. But
was it that long?
Well,
no, I thought it sat there long.
Yeah, I walked 2.5, 2-3/4 miles to school.
They,
you try to get a kid to walk 2-3/4 miles.
Blocks.
They have, yeah. Blocks. Guess we won't go.
2.5 blocks.
Yeah. Then they wouldn't want to walk.
No, they want to just get out of the car and just take a few steps.
Yeah. I finally got started out first, I rode a horse. I finally got a bicycle. Well, then the first year I went to high school. Oh, boy, was I lucky. Dad picked up a nice bicycle. I paid $2 for it. I remember that.
Yeah.
And oh, did I have something then that I could ride that bicycle?
That was special.
Oh, yeah. 4.5 miles.
And I taught that school over there. Claremont District. And I had to go peer to peer to Claremont because I paid. Always I rode bicycles. Yeah. I rode to Claremont, got my pay. All of $42 a month.
Yeah.
How many years did you teach then?
I taught Honolulu by airplane that first time. Out of the ninth grade, I left to the teaching academy. I got a third grade.